Now, I'll ask you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. This morning we want to wrap up this little series, kind of a mini-series on the Christian home and the family, by considering the importance of a mediator to teach us. Again, our text this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5. Beginning with verse 22, let's hear God's word. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness, with a loud voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. And as soon as you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we've heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. This day we've seen God speak with man, and man still live. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire as we have, and has still lived? Go near and hear all the Lord our God will say, and speak to us all the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear and do it. And the Lord heard your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I've heard the words of this people, which they've spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a mind as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents. But you, stand here by me, and I will tell you the whole commandment and statutes and the rules that you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land that I am giving them to possess. You shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the way the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we have gathered here this morning as you have called us to do, to hear your word, to listen, to reflect, and to respond in faith and worship. Father, we come here this morning because you are worthy of worship. You are worthy of our lives, of our trust, of our time, of our hopes, of all that we are. We were made for you, Lord, and we are empty and restless without you. We are lost and forsaken apart from you. We come this morning, Lord, by faith to give ourselves afresh to you, and we pray that you might receive us in Jesus. Forgive us. In Jesus, pardon us, love us, welcome us, help us, teach us, and take us to be your own. Take us by the hand, as it were, and teach us and lead us into good paths. We pray even this morning for our families, ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren, for our parents and our extended families, for friends who are like family to us, for neighbors in our community, and even, yes, for us as our church family. We ask for your spirit. We pray for your transforming power, for your renewal, for your life-giving work, that you would work within us and do for us and in us what we cannot do by ourselves, what we cannot do for ourselves or in ourselves. We pray for the supernatural and saving work of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would work in our community, in our neighbors, among our acquaintances and our friends. We pray that you would bring conviction, longing, faith, hope, repentance, change. Father, we pray this morning, especially, and in all our lives, that you would show us something of your glory and greatness. For we ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you do it? How do you live a Christian life? How can you be a Christian family? You know, last couple of weeks we've been talking about work and all the work that has to be done in the home, work around the house. Somebody's got to make up the beds. Someone's got to fix things that break. Someone's got to do work in the yard. Someone's got to get a job and make some money. I mean, we've been talking about all the work that has to be done, all the work it takes to build a family, to build a home. We've talked about respect. We need to respect our parents. We need to respect one another, respect each other's personal space. I mean, how do you do it? With all the stress, with all the things going on, with all the errands, with all the running to and fro, with conflict, with miscommunication, with misunderstanding, with disappointment and tears, with all these things, how do you do it? How can you make it as a Christian family in the world today? You need a mediator. Your family needs a mediator. Look with me at our text this morning, beginning with verse 22. Moses says, "These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly." Now, when he says these words, he means the Ten Commandments. See, several times in the Hebrew, the Ten Commandments are referred to as the Ten Words, or these Ten Words. So when Moses says these words, he means the Ten Commandments. He says, "The Ten Commandments the Lord spoke in your assembly." Okay? "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any graven images. You shall not take my name in vain. You shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not covet." We saw last week that you should find your fulfillment and your satisfaction in Jesus. That's really what the Ten Commandments are all about. It's about finding your fulfillment and satisfaction in Jesus. Everything else is ultimately unfulfilling and unsatisfying. If sometimes you find yourself to be unfulfilled and unsatisfied, that's no wonder, because everything else by itself is ultimately unfulfilling and unsatisfying. The whole point of the Ten Commandments is that you find yourself, your life, your meaning, your fulfillment, that you find everything in Jesus. I mean, it's one thing to say you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery. But when he concludes the Ten Commandments by saying you shall not covet, you shouldn't even wish that woman was your wife. You shouldn't even wish you had her things or his life or her family. He's saying you should be completely content and fully satisfied in who God is and all that he's done for you. The whole point of the Ten Commandments is that you should find fulfillment and satisfaction in Jesus. And the way you do that is by remembering who he is and by remembering what he's done. That's why the Ten Commandments begin by saying, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." He's the Lord. He is the eternal one. He is the everlasting one, always faithful, always righteous, always good, always merciful, always true. And he's not just God. He's your God. He has pledged himself to you. He has committed himself to you. He has given himself to you, not only as your maker and your creator, but as your defender and as your savior. He says, "I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, who saves you, who delivers you." We saw last week that Jesus perfectly fulfilled all of God's law, that he came into this world and he lived out the Ten Commandments. He fleshed them out. He applied them. He kept the Ten Commandments, and then Jesus went to the cross. Just like he lived and fulfilled and obeyed the Ten Commandments for you, he went to the cross and he took our judgment and our punishment and our condemnation for you, that we might be forgiven, that the bondage of sin and guilt would be broken. By themselves, the Ten Commandments are bondage. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do. It's slavery. By themselves, the Ten Commandments are slavery. And when you try to keep the Ten Commandments, it just reminds you of how much you fail. You know, by themselves, the Ten Commandments are slavery. But Jesus came to fulfill them for us. And then he took our punishment and our penalty on the cross, so that when we turn to Jesus, when we take him as he is, as the Lord our God, and as our Savior, as our Deliverer, we are pardoned, our sins are paid for, we are freed, the bonds of guilt fall off, and we're empowered and enabled to walk in the paths of his commandments. The only way you find fulfillment and satisfaction and purpose and meaning is by remembering who Jesus is and what he's done. But that's also the only way that you can obey the Ten Commandments. Remembering who God is, remembering what he's done for you, it inspires you with gratitude, with love. You're released from the guilt and the burdens, and you have renewed energy and life to want to live and follow him. So remembering who God is and what he's done gives you the power and the strength to obey his commands. Well, we looked at all that last week. Now, in our text this morning, Moses says, these words, these Ten Commandments, the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain. He's talking about Mount Sinai, sometimes called Mount Horeb. Imagine all the Hebrew people assembled around the mountain, hundreds of thousands of people, maybe as much as a million or more. And Moses says, these words, the Ten Commandments, the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness. So imagine a mountain and the entire mountain covered in flame, obscured in fire, in dark smoke, thick darkness. And out of this fire and out of this darkness, God spoke. And this was not a soft, still, quiet voice, whispering words of soothing comfort in your ear. It says, out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness, with a loud voice. I mean, you think about it, you're talking about something like a million people, God speaking down from the mountain. It would have had to have been a loud voice. This isn't a little whisper. This is God, the lawgiver, the judge, the Holy One. And he is thundering forth his law. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make a graven image. You shall not take my name in vain. This would have been a truly awesome sight. Moses says these words, these Ten Commandments, the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice. And he added no more. Very interesting that Moses would say that. Now, God spoke these Ten Commandments and no more. You and I are always, we're always making up new rules. People are always making up rules to tell you what to do and how to live your life. New rules to bind your conscience. Rules you have to feel like you have to obtain to, or things you have to accomplish. There's no 11th commandment. Moses says God gave these Ten Commandments and that's it. That's it. There's no more. The Ten Commandments are unique. And they were given to us to be the foundation for our families and our nation. Moses says, God wrote them on the two tablets of stone and gave them to me. The whole Bible is inspired. Paul says all scripture is breathed out by God. So God's Spirit worked through the apostles and the prophets to write down God's word. It's all true. It's all accurate. It's all from God. And yet the Ten Commandments are unique in the sense that God himself spoke them out loud. And then God himself wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to Moses. So the Ten Commandments, in a sense, are special. They're unique. They embody or they summarize the eternal moral law of God. And they've been given to us to be the foundation for our families and for our nation. If you think about it, what's just happened is God has taken his people out of one country, out of Egypt, so out of one nation, out of one culture, out of one society, and he's taken them somewhere else, to the land of Canaan. But he's not just saying, stop living among the Egyptians and now start living like these people. No, he wants them to drive out the Canaanites and they're going to start a new nation, a new culture, a new society. And so he's giving them these Ten Commandments to be the foundation for their new society. The Ten Commandments are given to be the foundation of your family, of your home. People debate, the 4th of July weekend, people still debate how Christian were our founding fathers. To what degree were they shaped by a biblical world and life view? You can debate those things, whether or not they were personally trusting in Jesus. Certainly they were influenced by a biblical world and life view. But even regardless of that, even if that wasn't true, God has given the Ten Commandments to be the foundation not just for our nation, but for every nation. This is the eternal moral law of God given to be the foundation of your home, your family, and our nation. Anywhere two or more people gather together, there's going to be problems, and we need God's guidance. Here's what I want us to see together this morning. Okay. Moses is reminding the people what happened. And he says to them, as soon as you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. So as soon as God began to speak, as soon as the people began to hear God's voice, they all came to Moses. Not everybody individually, because there was something like a million people, but all the leaders and the heads of the different tribes, they all came to Moses. And they said to Moses, behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness. So there was a sense of awe. There was a sense of wonder. If you can imagine an entire mountain covered in fire and smoke. We may not be tempted to carve idols as they were often tempted to do, but we still do the same thing. We have small thoughts of God. That's what an idol was. An idol was something that's supposed to represent God, but you could make it yourself and you could carry it around and you could use it and pull it out when you wanted it. And isn't that the way we often relate to God? We forget about him and then we pull him out when we need him, and we have small thoughts of God. Here, these leaders, they all come to Moses. They say, God has shown us his glory and his greatness. I mean, imagine a whole mountain enveloped in dark smoke and fire. If you've ever been around a fire, you think of a cozy campfire. But if you've been around a large fire, like a big bonfire, or worse, a house fire, there's something troubling. I mean, not just the heat, but just something about a large fire. This would have been an enormous fire. And the people come to Moses. They say, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. It's not just that the sight of the fire, but hearing God speak has left them in awe and wonder. They say, this day we have seen God speak with man, and man still live. And they recognize that this was something different. This was extraordinary. This wasn't just more religion. This was something very different. They understood that you can't stand in the presence of God and live. And that's why they seem to be almost in shock that we've seen God speak with man and man still live. They understood something of God's greatness, of his holiness. And certainly the Ten Commandments would remind them of that. When God says, you shall have no other gods before me, you shall not take my name in vain, you shall not commit murder, you shall not steal or bear false witness. The Ten Commandments convict us. They expose us. So often, it's not just that we engage in some obvious outward sin, but we lose perspective. We forget about who God is. We make mountains out of our problems, and they seem so overwhelming, and so we become dissatisfied, and we become discontent, and we become unhappy, or we become puffed up, and we become proud. And then we see something of the greatness and glory of God. God reveals himself through his Ten Commandments, and it exposes our foolishness. We see, what have I been thinking? What have I been doing? And we realize that none of us can stand before the Lord and live. The people came to Moses, the leaders, and they said, therefore, why should we die? This great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, we shall die. There was a fear of this giant fire, but not just that. They said, if we hear the voice of God anymore, one more word from God, we can't handle it. It's too overwhelming. It's too convicting. Who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and have still lived? But they understood that you just can't stand before the living God. And so they say to Moses, go near and hear all the Lord our God will say, and speak to us all the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear and do it. So all the leaders of the people come to Moses. They say, we can't do this. We can't stand here. One more word from God. It's too much for us. We're going to die. You do it, Moses. It's not that they're running from God. They just say, Moses, you go. You stand in the presence of God. You listen. And then you come back and you tell us what to do and we'll do it. They weren't running from God. They were willing to obey him, but they just knew they couldn't stand in God's presence. So they say, Moses, you go. You know, be our mediator. You go represent us. Go stand in our place. Hear what God says. You come back and tell us and we'll do it. Moses is reminding the people later what had happened, and he says, and the Lord heard your words when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, I've heard the words of this people which they've spoken to me. They are right in all that they have spoken. God says, the people are right. They do need a mediator. They're right. They can't stand in my presence. They do need someone to come and represent them. God says, oh, that they had such a mind as this always to fear me and to keep all my commandments. God says, if only that was always their attitude. If only they always had this fear and respect for me. If only they could always remember my glory and my greatness. If only they always wanted to obey me. That it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. And we worry about so many things. So many things going on in the family, so many things, responsibilities, taking kids here and there. And we worry about our kids and we worry about our parents. And there's so many problems that overwhelm us or that consume us or things we get excited about. God says, if only you would fear the Lord, if only you would remember and call to mind his greatness and glory, if only you had a heart to obey him, he says, it'll go well with you. It'll go well with you and with your descendants forever. And what he's saying is, you know, we worry about so many things in our families. He says, if only you would remember the greatness and the glory of God and have a heart to please him, he says, it will go well with you and with your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren. If only we could remember the greatness and the glory of God and seek to please him. But we don't always do that. We do forget him. We do lose sight of him. And that's why you need a mediator, okay, to teach you. Look at verse 30. God says to Moses, go and say to them, return to your tents. So God says to Moses, go to the people and tell them, go back to your tents. I mean, they were nomads. They lived in tents. So God says, Moses, tell the people, go back home. Go back to your tents. Go back to where you cook your food and where you feed your sheep and where you sleep at night. You know, the people are frightened. They can't stand in my presence. Tell them to go on back home. But you, Moses, stand here by me. Imagine if you're Moses. The people have just said that we are so frightened. We're afraid we're going to die. And so God says, you're right. You guys can go on home. But then God says, Moses, come stand here by me. You know, imagine this mountain of fire. We read elsewhere that it was trembling. The people were frightened and trembling with fear and afraid for their lives. And God says, Moses, come here, stand by me. Okay, we need a mediator who can stand in the presence of God for us. We can't stand by ourselves in the presence of a holy God. We are guilty and fallen, and we need someone, a mediator, someone to represent us, who will stand in the presence of God for us and teach us how to live our daily lives. God says to Moses, Moses, tell the people to go back to their tents, but Moses, you stand here by me, and I'll tell you the whole commandment and the statutes and the rules that you shall teach them. God says, Moses, you come up here by me, and I'll teach you all the commandments, all the statutes. Well, God's already given him the Ten Commandments. But now he's talking about the application of them, all the specific rules. There's so much in the Bible that it's really applications of the Ten Commandments. What do you do in this situation? What do you do in that situation? Isn't that where we struggle? I mean, it's one thing to say I'm not going to go out and commit murder, but it's, as a family, day by day, trying to put these things into practice. That's what's so difficult. with all the other things going on. Just the daily application of the Christian life in the home is so difficult. God says, Moses, you come up here and stand by me, and I'm going to teach you those things. The daily practical applications, the outworking of the Ten Commandments, that you can go down and teach the people so they may do them in the land I'm giving them to possess. Okay, what we need is a mediator, someone who can stand for us in the presence of God, who can then help us, teach us to lead our daily lives. We need a mediator who's completely obedient. God says to Moses, you shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. God says to Moses, if you're going to stand in my presence, if you're going to be a mediator, if you're going to be the one to go down and teach the people how to live, it's going to be important that you obey me in every way. Okay? You've got to be careful to do all that I command you, and don't turn aside to the right or the left. But of course, Moses did not always obey. He was not a perfect mediator. If you remember later, the people had been wandering in the desert. They became discouraged. They became frustrated. They began to complain. Why did you bring us out here in the desert? Did you bring us out here to die? They were thirsty. They said, we need water for our flocks. And they violated the Ten Commandments. The people were not trusting the Lord who had delivered them out of Egypt, God who was faithful to take care of them. They were breaking all the Ten Commandments. They were dishonoring God. They were murmuring. They were complaining. And they deserved to be struck down. But instead of striking them down, God says to Moses, Moses, take your staff. And instead of striking the people, God says, Moses, take your staff and strike this rock. Apparently there was a big rock there. And God says, instead of striking the people in judgment, strike the rock. Well, the rock represented the Lord himself. I mean, throughout the Bible we're told the Lord is our rock. You know, the Lord is unchanging and true. We can trust him. We can build our life upon him. Later on, the Apostle Paul would say, that rock was Christ. Meaning this was symbolic. God was saying, instead of striking the people in judgment, strike the rock instead. It's like the rock was the mediator. The rock would take the punishment. The rock would take the blame. We need a mediator who will take the punishment we deserve. Of course, that's what Jesus did. He perfectly kept the Ten Commandments. He lived them out. He fleshed them out. And then on the cross, he was struck for us because of our sins. He took that judgment. He took that condemnation. God told Moses to strike the rock, and when he did, rivers of water, life-giving water, flowed out to refresh and save the people. On the cross, Jesus was struck with our judgment and condemnation, and now from him flows the life-giving spirit. Rivers of his spirit flow out to give us life. Okay? We need that kind of a mediator, okay, who will take our punishment, the punishment we deserve, and give us life. Well, now something similar happened a little while later. The people began to complain again. Why are we doing this? We're going in circles. You bring us out here to die. We're thirsty. And this time, God says to Moses, I want you to speak to the rock. He doesn't say strike the rock, because striking the rock represented the Lord himself, Jesus, being struck. And Jesus only had to die on the cross once. I mean, Jesus died to pay for our sins once and for all. That's what striking the rock represented. So Moses didn't need to go back and strike the rock again. Jesus died once and for all to pay for our sins. Striking the rock over and over again would be like crucifying Christ over and over again. And so God says to Moses, this time just go and speak to the rock. You know, we find forgiveness and new life in Jesus. We still sin. Like the Hebrews, they fell back in the same patterns, the same sinful. What do? You go back and you talk to Jesus. You go back and you talk to Jesus and you ask forgiveness. And life-giving streams flow from him. And you are forgiven and you're renewed. God says to Moses, this time, just go in front of the people and talk to the rock. But Moses was impatient. He was irritated at the people. He was angry. And instead of just speaking to the rock, he took his staff and he struck the rock. I mean, he was, in essence, he was dishonoring the Lord. He was disrespecting God. He was breaking the Ten Commandments. And so God says to Moses, Moses, you'll never go into the promised land. Our text ends like this, verse 33. God says to Moses, you shall walk in all the way the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess. All right, Moses, you want to be a mediator. You want to stand in my presence. You want to be the one to teach the people how to live. You've got to listen carefully and be sure to do all that I tell you. You must walk in the way the Lord commands you, and it'll go well with you, and you can live long in the land. Moses didn't do that. He disobeyed God. He publicly dishonored and disrespected God. And as a result, Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. We need a mediator better than Moses. We need a mediator who is completely obedient, who will take the punishment that we deserve and give us life. Jesus died once and for all to pay for our sins. And now he stands in the presence of the Father. Just like Moses went up on the mountain and he stood in the presence of God, so Jesus stands in the presence of the Father. Just like Moses came down and he taught the people how to live, Jesus left glory and he came down to this world to obey the Ten Commandments and to teach us. And now he stands in the presence of the Father to represent us as our mediator and to teach you how to live. We've been asking the question, what makes a family a Christian family? It's not that you're better than your neighbors. It's not that you've got it all together. It's not that you've got it all figured out. It's not that you don't have problems. What makes a family a Christian family is that you have a mediator. It's that you have someone on your side, someone who cares about you, someone who wants the best for your family, someone who represents you before the Father. To be a Christian family doesn't mean you've got it all figured out. It doesn't mean you always get here early and you get the best pew, that your family always looks like they've got it all together. To be a Christian family means you've got a mediator. You've got someone on your side who stands in the presence of the Father, who gave his life for you, and now he represents you. And what he's doing now is streams of his life-giving spirit are poured into your life. His spirit uses his word. And so as you read his word and as you look to Jesus in faith, he is teaching you. Day by day, his spirit poured forth through his word is teaching you how to live. And so day by day, each day you're growing a little bit because you've got a mediator better than Moses. And he's with you every day and he's teaching you how to live the Christian life. That's what makes a family a Christian family. Not that you got it all together, not that you got it all figured out, but you've got a mediator. You got Jesus to teach you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we have so much we need to learn. And we confess freely that by ourselves, in ourselves, the Ten Commandments just condemn us and show us our faults. But we thank you that we are no longer by ourselves. We thank you that we have the righteousness of Jesus, our elder brother and best friend. We thank you that we have a mediator, one who loves us and cares for us, one who intercedes on our behalf, one who is there at your right hand right now, one who cares about our family, one who knows and understands our struggles and our problems, our grief, our needs. We thank you for your great patience. We thank you that you understand how to live out the Christian life, and by your Spirit, you're teaching us and you're showing us. Help us, Lord, to be in your word. Help us to look to you in faith and pour out your Spirit to lead us and teach us. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.